Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break telling greedy. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to 100 grand. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. Our producer in studios is Mr. Ali Roll, who has been doing an outstanding job over the years here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I would like also to say thank you to all of the persons who listen to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We particularly listen to this particular show and others, but mainly as I walk and I travel around the road, many of my friends, schoolmates like Santana Forbes, Adrian, I could go on with many of the persons who are really proud of me for how I conduct myself on the radio and how I am a person who's trying to make my community and country better. So I want to say thanks to all the listeners and all of the support that I'm getting from, I'd say, fans and family and friends. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. This is what keeps me going. Tonight's topic, we're going to talk about the Princess Margaret Hospital, comments made by the newly elected Prime Minister of the country, Honorable Philip Brave Davis, and then comments made by the former Prime Minister, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Menes, who was sworn in today as the official opposition leader of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. But before I begin that, there are sometimes, like I said earlier on the show, where you appreciate, you know, the small things in life. Well, a lady by the name of Miss Sands wrote me a letter, and I just want to read a little part of it, just to show gratitude and that I appreciate the letter, because sometimes small things are way more important than money. It means a lot for me to come to Guardian Radio and actually meet a letter sent by someone who listens to the show. And the letter's about encouraging me to keep up the good work. And I just want to read it, a little part of it. They say it was written June 2021. It says, "Hi, Scrooge. I always listen to you on Friday evenings on 96.9 FM. You make a lot of sense. You be trying your best to offer knowledge to people. Most people perish for lack of knowledge, you know. They respect it. Take care, my brother, and continue to do good. People are hearing you, but the world will not change until Jesus comes." You know, and there's more I could read, but just a little. I just wanted to read it and to show my appreciation That was a very good letter. And thanks for the word of encouragement. And I would try my best to keep on offering knowledge to the Bahamian people, you know, because some of us are special. Some of us are gifted from God to make a difference. And the difference means that as simple as this letter, as simple as me doing this show on Guardian Radio, this has opened a lot of ears and make people think a lot and make people change the way they're thinking to be more productive, you know. So I want to say thanks to Miss Sands and to all the listeners that listen to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Okay. Recently, we had a general election, and we have a change of government from the Free National Movement now to the Progressive Liberal Party, headed by the new Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Brave Davis, just 1 week prior, and congrats. Recently, Prime Minister toured the Princess Margaret Hospital. And he did this because of the pandemic. He did this, I guess, because of the videos circulating on Facebook and on social media with disturbing images of the hospital leaking. Many of our family and friends was not treated properly. And the nurses and doctors were having strikes, and they were burnt out. Many persons who require treatment for the COVID-19, there were no beds. And if there were no beds, so tents were set up outside for patients to get their treatment. Some were put in a peculiar position where we saw on Facebook where rain, water was coming down through a certain section of the Princess Margaret Hospital. And, you know, the problem has been there from a very, very long time. It's not nothing new. In fact, the Princess Margaret Hospital, as it stands now, was built in the year of 1952, you know. And then it was renamed Princess Margaret Hospital. But in 1952, it was the Bahamas General Hospital. That was the first name of the hospital. It was the Bahamas General Hospital in 1952. A few years later, they named it the Princess Margaret Hospital. And again, it was built in 1952. And the population at that time in the Bahamas, I guess, was probably 120,000, 130,000 people, if I'm correct, at a particular time. So the hospital was built to deal with a population of 100,000 persons. If we look back from 1952 to now, we'd see where we exceeded the limitation of the hospital. What I'm meaning is that the Bahamas population has grown tremendously. We are like 500,000 Bahamians now living in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And then there's more who live in worldwide, America, Canada, and et cetera, et cetera. But we're talking about who resides here. We're talking like 500,000. So you can imagine one hospital was built in 1952, still operational. And governments came and they add on sections to the Princess Margaret Hospital, you know, I-wing and et cetera, what was needed at the previously run-down Princess Margaret Hospital. Many different administration, PLP, the Free National Movement, maybe in taking a turn. So I guess that's why the Honorable Prime Minister went to inspect hospital, and on its inspection, it's a lot of work to be done. He said that he would make it a number one priority to repair and build a new hospital. I want to read something. It says here, okay, all right. And says, I mean, the current prime minister said that he is looking to build a new hospital and also to repair the now hospital, the Princess Margaret Hospital. So after these comments were made, we had a response from the former prime minister, and that is Prime Minister Menace. He says that the plan is impossible for this administration to build a brand new hospital, because he said that in 2010 they did a survey and they looked for places to build a new hospital. He says a new hospital, I think, if I'm correct, costs over $600 some million, and at that particular time it would be near impossible to build a new hospital. So that's why different administration was adding different department on the current Princess Margaret Hospital. So in response to that, let me just read this word. When the former prime minister was asked about the criticism, he stated, former prime minister stated that, you know, it's going to be a tough task. I think that this administration can make some headway to build a new hospital, because we really are in dire need of a new hospital. We have a call on the line. Hey, good night.
Yeah, it's good to be on your show in the city. I listen to you regularly. I just called to say that, in my opinion, I think the F&M council, they should have. I know they probably said they're going to the convention in November, but if I had anything to do with it, I would have asked the former prime minister right then to step down, because what he's going to do, he's going to be a major destruction in the house, because no one is going to be listening to him. I hope he can take the rebuke that he will be getting from the Progressive Liberal Party, because it can be coming fast and furious. And he already showed us that he can't think off or on his feet. For him to say that there's no possibility of building a hospital, it's crazy. You have the journey of 1,000 miles start with the first step. All the Progressive Liberal Party need to do is locate an ideal site and do it incrementally. That is to say, every year you can allocate it so much money towards building a new hospital. Mm-hmm. And you can also take on the role of private partnership.
Yes.
If that's feasible, and that should be possible, because you have a lot of people in the medical field who would love to get involved in something of that magnitude. But this idea that the previous prime minister is saying that it's impossible, listen, we are not going down that road. I only wish the F&M had dealt with him in council and let him go in exile, because he have taken the F&M to one of his worst defeats. And he cannot take loss with humility. He should bow out gracefully, do the honorable thing. I suggest that the two leaders should have emerged until the convention should have been Tintad and Grand Bahama and Shenandoah Cartwright. They're the two persons I say, Tintad for leader and Shenandoah as deputy leader. So you would have, that would be, Tintad for Grand Bahama, Shenandoah, and the city.
Good pick.
Of New Providence.
Makes
and
sense.
So it would have been more of a balanced approach.
Yes.
And you put all of Mr. Menace's ego behind you. You get me, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just laughing.
Doesn't
you know.
That make good sense?
Yes, sir.
Because the only reason why he want to hold on as opposition leader is because of he has some other intent. You can't tell me that This is not purposely driven. It's purposely driven.
Protection.
That he want to be in Parliament to really be at war with the present Prime Minister, which make no sense. And so he's going to be a major distraction. Mm. I want you to mark, I am one of the first person to say this on your show.
Yes.
He's going to be a major distraction, and he's going to be totally embarrassed in Parliament.
Yes.
Because for him to start talking about accountability, he's the last person to say that. Because he didn't live after accountability.
Okay.
So he should be the last to begin that process.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, thank you for taking my call. I always listen to you. You're doing a remarkable job. I appreciate the fact that you were able to explain the whole lot of time that where you have come from, the Lord has been good to you, and you are now, you made incremental step in your life, and look where you are.
Yes, sir.
All things are possible if you only believe.
Yes, sir. So we
so
can build.
It's a living testimony.
Yes, sir. And we can, so we can build a new hospital.
Of course we can.
Yes, sir.
Like I said, it can do incrementally.
Yes, you're correct. Take our time, step by step, step by step. You're correct. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, sir. Are we going to take this next call? Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City. Oh, you got the radio. You can turn it on just a little bit. Yes, you can turn on your radio just a little bit, please.
Yeah, is this good?
Yeah, this is, what is this?
You know what this is.
Sparky, turn on your radio or something.
I'm not on mute.
Why it's so loud? Go ahead, Sparky.
Not on mute.
Just my mouth. Oh, so Lord. What do you want to say, Spock?
Hey, Sparky.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Sparky.
Let me tell you something.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. Can hold on to this. I don't know where we even start, but you know you ain't had me for a long time.
No, go ahead.
I can tell you something. Out of all due respect, you remember your good buddy who just got beat up the other day, the one with the bald head?
Oh, that's, who did tell me, bro?
You know that man was called Educator Man?
Oh, you talking about the Honorable,
you call him
Jeffrey Lloyd?
That's your boy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I can talk about respect now.
Yes, sir.
When me was growing up, me and him went to Eastern Senior, Eastern Junior, and all them school together.
Yes, sir.
We used to call him Scrooge.
Yes, he did say that. He did mention it. He did mention it.
I'm telling you.
Yes, he said.
We gave him the name Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But when he became a man, we call him Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Jeffrey Lloyd.
Out of respect.
Out of respect. Then the order was Jeffrey Lloyd.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you something. I think you're doing something a little wrong right now. In the same school that I went to, me, Jeff Lloyd, Philip Edward Davis, and many other people went to the same school.
Who, Philip Davis?
I say Philip Edward.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
Listen to me, man.
I'm listening, man. Sparky, man.
Listen to me, man.
Go ahead.
Okay. Jeffrey Lloyd registered Augustine.
Yes.
Philip Edward registered John. Gene Sparky Fulton went to Governor High, the Governor High.
Mm-hmm.
There was no nicknames around there.
Mm.
School was between us.
Go ahead, sir. How can be between us? How can be between us? You say it on the airwaves.
I'm
only joking. Let's go. No,
I'm joking. I see it.
Okay, let's go.
Listen to me. I want you to be serious now on your talk show.
Yeah.
Remember, you're a talk show host.
Yes, sir.
That is the Prime Minister of the Bahamas.
Yes.
Only his friends call him brave when they meet him out. When you're talking with the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, his name is Philip Edward Davis. The Honorable Philip Edward Davis, he is not brave. On a talk show, nowhere do we call the Prime Minister of the Bahamas. Do you call any other Prime Minister around here by any nickname?
Yes, ma'am. We call him
Mr. Finland?
Yes, of course.
No, but you know...
We just call him Ping. What you mean? What you talking about, Sparky?
Not on the show. We talking about the club.
Yeah,
so Ping, how you doing?
Yeah, some people say it, but you
know... No. Scoot. I call you Scoot, you call me Sparky. That's how respectful our Prime Minister now. It's Philip Edward.
No one's being disrespectful. I don't know where you're coming from.
When we on a talk show.
We could be anywhere.
No, when we meet him around the club and then he comes to the club, hey, how are you doing? but on the talk show that is Philip Edward Davis, not Brave.
So something changed about his name?
No, he nothing changed.
What changed about his name?
He's the Prime Minister now.
So that's...
All due respect now.
Yes.
All due respect to the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. His name is Philip Edward Davis. When we see him around the club and he come around here and me and you, hey, babe, what are you doing?
That don't make no sense. If you can't say honorable Prime Minister when he's by the club,
okay,
what's the difference? What's the difference from the airways?
Hold on, let me ask you about this. When you saw the man introducing them up on the stage and they been sworn in, what do you call it? They mentioned Brave?
But when you read the newspaper, what they say?
Did the man mention him as Brave?
What did the newspaper say? They are Brave in there too, the newspaper.
You remember the newspaper comes with the Tribune, right?
But the newspaper are Brave in it too. That's a part of him, Sparky. That is a part of his name, regardless of how it is.
Scourge. But guess what?
Go ahead.
Boy, that's one beating me put on there. Boy, look here, and one thing I tell you, you know, what is so embarrassing? That man should be. I don't believe that man. What he called? What a man name was revealed yesterday by the king of them. He should be so embarrassed to even go in the House of Assembly again.
Well.
They shouldn't even send a car to pick him up. They should make him walk to the House of Assembly.
They say only shame is hurt people who had power.
Yes,
only shame.
People don't want to see him no more. Pintard is the man. Pintard is the man. That's a good man. Pintard is a good man.
Sparky, hurry closer because we have a next call on the line. You made good sense. I know you're getting off. But you're right, Sparky, when you say, you know, the Honorable Philip Brave Davis. That is his name. But, you know, we behemoths, you know. We behemoths. We all have nicknames, and that's just how the way it is, you know. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
Sorry for taking so long just now. Sparky had the airwaves just now.
Are
they left? They left? Oh,
hello.
Go ahead. Good night.
What do you say, Scrooge? Is this Garvin, man? What's going on?
Who Garvin is this?
It's G, buddy. I'm in the room.
When you said international, what kind of international?
Well, you know, this is the first time I call into your show.
Yeah, man.
I know you had it, but I be listening in candidly. Nah, to the show, you know what I mean? So, personally, I'm going to say congratulations for being a brother from round away and giving the inner city a voice.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, my brother.
That's real.
Yes.
Now, one thing I want to say is that remember how pivotal your position is. Don't ever take for granted and don't ever believe for a second be like them.
Yes.
Because Michael Pintado at one point would say it was now it's us against them, and that's when he wasn't in those positions.
Yes.
Now he in them positions, it has changed. So I don't want you to get comfortable and believe like the plastic smile is real, because you know the time.
No sir. You know where I go.
And see, we need right now, especially in our inner cities, is something now that the government change or whatever government change, what I believe you should really advocate is the massive police brutality and the inadequate treatment that a lot of the young brothers is being subjected to on the basis of their socio-economic standing.
Yes.
Now, we rang you from Mason to Hay Street. It's at least three or four brothers who there's allegations of them being slain, and there was nothing, it was swept under the rug. See, Scrooge, remember, some days the things which you really got to key in on and investigate, because why? You in the mix, and you know that if it could happen to them, it could happen to me, it could happen to you.
Yes,
now, that's just one of the things. But see, I want you to continue to understand this better. The minute they accepting you, it's the minute that you are no longer a threat to them. You got to keep the fire burning and you got to bring the real to them, because right now, you're the only voice the people in these cities have on the airwaves, and they consider us to be the undesirables.
Yeah.
They don't see you as an equal. They don't see me as an equal.
Hey,
don't be comfortable, brother.
You know me, Garvin. You know I'm never changed. I'm still walking barefoot in the streets. You know what could program me? I know to change I know the challenges we face out there. That, this is what the show is all about, you know, and I'm very passionate about this, and I'm glad you make those points. My whole desire is to fight against things you talked about.
It's one thing, like, I've been listening to Nahaja Black on the program before you, and they was talking about the credit bureau.
Right.
And how that coming into play. And one of the things what is amazing is that they don't take into consideration the economic standpoint most Bahamians is be subjected to before we even open our eyes. And now they bring in a credit bureau into place to judge us on our prior credit or our prior financial standings when we are not experienced equity within the banking system and within the Bahamian system. Yes. See these things happening and people talking about them right under our eye. And then when we see the taxation and the marginalization, after these things already being implemented, we only could complain. That's why people like you and your position pivotal, brother.
Yes, my brother.
I ain't going to take up too much more of your time, brother, because I know you got other callers. But remember, if you feeling comfortable or they accepting you too much, remember, you want no threat no more, and we need you to be a threat, brother.
Yes, yes.
The voice of the inner city.
Yes. Thank you, Garvin. That's one of the younger guys who grew up in the neighborhood. Excellent basketball, became a, you know, finished college, did good for himself, you know. And like I said, there's words of encouragement. I hear it every day. So I just want to say thanks to my good friend, Garvin, you know, for giving me, you know, that word up. And just to say this, I've never changed. I'm never going to get comfortable of the living standard in the country. I'm always going to fight against police brutality. I'm always going to fight for poverty. I'm always going to fight for crime. You know, I'm never going to stop as long as I have bread in my body. Never going to stop. We're going to take this next call, and I'm going to answer your question when it comes to those poison you talked about getting slain in the community. I saw some in the newspaper, so I'm going to comment after I take this call. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead. You're on. Good night.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir.
Great. Wonderful. Now, one thing I don't want this government to get comfortable with. Let me ask you this. How much new cars do you think they're going to buy?
They're going to buy a lot because they got a lot of cabinet and a lot of permanent secretaries.
They could keep some of them cars with the other former politicians to drive.
Yes, yes.
Another thing, the traveling. I know sometimes it's vital and important, but we got Zoom, we got all of that. So sometimes you don't really have to be
traveling.
All of that traveling, spending all that money. And they were down on the F&M, but not disclosing how much... where the money is you, which you travel with. And another thing I don't want to hear. Oh, you all did it when you're always in power. I don't want to hear that. I'm tired of hearing that from both government. You all is to do it. Make a difference and show difference that you change. And they'll, maybe you might see a two-term...
Prime Minister,
their party.
Yes.
But if you keep blaming this and you all listen, I don't want to hear that.
I'm tired of
hearing that
forward.
Now.
And yes.
Another thing they got to do, you got to be upright and honest. The same criteria that used to hit the F&M with, you can get hit with that too if you don't, you know, step it up.
Yes.
It must be a change, and godliness is the most important thing.
Yes.
I'm not saying all the members of parliament are Christian, but you should have some standard, some principle about yourself and about the office that you hold.
Yes.
And my wish is that godliness must take the stand, especially those who, I think of two of them that I know are men of God, because when I vote because I'm in Golden Hours, I vote for the man.
Yes.
And that's Leroy Major and Vaughn Miller. I want these men to take a stand for boldness and not compromise your conviction for party's sake.
Yes.
Take that same stand you have now before you became a politician, before you got voted in. Stay on those principles. And that goes for everyone who say they name the name of Christ. The Bible said, you know, those that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So what I'm saying, take a stand. Don't compromise. Don't find yourself in compromising position. If you can't do it, say you can't do it. Don't make these big, big, big promises, and then you can't fulfill, and you ducking and jiving and everything. And don't back down from the media. They stick a mic in your face. Answer the question. If you can't answer it right then, I don't have all the answers, but I'll come back to you and give you the answer. Mm-hmm. So what I want is, like I said, just principles and godliness. And the Bible said, because God set his throne up for godliness. You know what the Bible said? If the leader, I can find the scripture verse, and maybe next week I'll tell you to it. But when the leader be corrupt, everybody under him becomes corrupt. And yes. I think that's what happened.
Yes.
And the election in 2017 because of leadership.
Yes.
And then one other thing, too. You remember when the FNM lost? I think they had the big thing in one. When Mr. Ingram, when they started playing that song, Nobody Greater.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
Nobody Greater. And people that were going in the frenzy. And I say, hold on, man. You know that song it's attributed to?
God.
The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Yes. And people, and you had preachers there, not one of them say, hey, turn that song up. You know what you're doing? You know what you're ascribing? And I think that's one of the downfall of the FNM that time.
Yes.
And one of the main things, too, with this election going on with Mr. Minnis, when he came and say, the four next time. Come on, man. Next time for y'all. And you came in on the premises that, hey, we can help you out. And then you come, not this time, but the next time. You don't think so? that was one of the downfalls?
Oh, Lord.
And ducking the media. He came out, had press, Lazy on. But every time he ducked the media, and I hope Prime Minister Davis don't do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't duck.
Yes.
The media.
Yes.
Stay faithful and keep your commitments and everything, and we'll see this country. And one more thing, Scrooge. And you notice you got PLP preachers, FNM preachers.
Well, we saw it.
Watch this now. You know what'll be a transforming thing in this country? Let's say the FNM preachers who were. And I heard them say some things. God say we go, and watch this now. If they just to come out, say we going down Bay Street. This is our prime minister now. This is the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. The Bible said, pray for those in authority that they may do good. He said, as the rivers of water turn, so he turned the hearts of men. So if more Christians, FNM, PLP, is to pray for the leaders, they might want to go bend to do something wrong, but if so much prayer is going up, the Holy Spirit will just touch it. That's wrong. Don't do that.
Yes.
But you can imagine if they come out and say, we're going now, we can bind together because as Christians, we're supposed to be one. We all go in the same place. It's to say, we can have a prayer now for our Prime Minister Davis that he can lead the country the right way. Because if he failed, we all fail.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and those was a lot of points, and all those points was on cue. You did a fantastic job, and you talked about, I'm going to respond to Garvin when he talked about the three shooting incidents where we lost loved ones in the community. You know, those communities that are close net communities in the Dean and Grunstown community and Mason Addition community. The caller talked about the fact that, two of the callers referred to the fact that now a former prime minister who has been sworn in as the official opposition leader, that he would be trying to defend his administration time in office. And the caller said, you know, that is going to be a big distraction from what needs the attention. So he's talking about former prime minister now is the leader of the opposition. He's the Queen's official opposition. He would try to defend everything that his previous government has done in their tenure as the government of the Bahamas. And the prime minister who would be for Sparky, the Honorable Brave Davis, the newly elected prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, he would be looking into allegations of members of the former administration, whether it's members of parliament, who has done something that is suspicious, and he would try to identify them in the House Assembly, and then Menace, he would try to defend it even if it's right or wrong. Either way, he would try to defend it, and it goes back and forth, and we don't need that right now. We need this country to move forward, and that's what the call is saying. We don't need that distraction. He's saying no one wants to listen to the former prime minister, and yes, no one wants to hear nothing from him, honestly speaking. No one wants to hear nothing from the former prime minister. Many people have said that he should step down, but he was put before the council. He had a council meeting, and they said that he would be the leader until November, until the next convention. And then he would take on as business speaker in the House of Assembly. He has stepped down as leader. He would not challenge the leadership. He accept what the council has put forward, what the party has put forward. But many people don't even want him to be the official opposition leader. Many people are calling for Pintard. And my friend Governor said, don't get caught up with the smiles. And you're correct. Everyone's looking for power. So we can't go with the smile. We saw where... I'm going to let this caller go. Let this caller come on right now. Well, we have seen the damage from rule by just one man, and that's the newly elected Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Brave Davis, who said that we have seen the damages from the rule by just one man. He's talking about the Honorable Hubert Alexander Menes, who is now a former Prime Minister, now the official opposition leader in the House of Assembly, and Davis was referring to him, and he says that he's going to have a bipartnership and working with the public in order to make the Bahamas a better place, and he is going to be a prime minister for all that serves both FNM, both PLP, and those who are not politically affiliated. Okay, so we're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hello.
Yeah, good night. You're on. Good night.
My first time calling the show.
No problem. Great.
I enjoyed some of the earlier calls, except they seem to focus a lot on, you know, the FNM and,
right,
and Dr. Menes, which is all well and good. But I wanted to comment a bit about the new government.
Go ahead, sir.
So I think that Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis, has been very astute, and that he's taken advantage of the opportunity to grasp a few low-hanging fruit. Like he extended the curfew.
Yes, we love that.
To midnight. That was very positive for the
business. He saved us. We are free. Oh, we're exactly. Finally free. We are finally free. Thank you. Yes.
Right.
Thank you. We're finally free. I don't want
to call his name, but there was a politician in the U.S., a president, who always used to say that the disease can't be worse than the cure.
Basically,
you can't have us killing the economy, killing people's livelihoods.
The business.
Because we have to balance it. I like that move by him. That was a good hand move.
Yes.
He plucked off the tree.
Yeah, he take a lot of pressure off us.
The second one is that he got rid of this travel visa.
Yes.
Into island travel.
Yes, he's doing some great stuff.
Exactly. And that's money going directly into people's pockets.
Yes.
Now, the other thing I want to comment is that a lot of people are mentioning, which is, and there are valid points, that the Prime Minister appointed a sort of a big, some people refer to as a Gussie May cabinet. And I just wanted to say that as long as they produce...
It doesn't matter.
Prime Minister Davis, and his cabinet can get the healthcare system and the economy turned around and get this country moving in the right direction, people aren't going to worry about this big cabinet as long as things are improving.
I agree.
So it was a good move, again, on Prime Minister Davis's hand to say he won all the hands on deck.
Yes.
But now the risk he's going to take is that if he doesn't produce the results, people are going to say you really don't have an excuse because you had all the hands on deck.
Yes.
You know, but Prime Minister Davis is starting off. I like these early moves he's making.
Yes,
what he's doing, he's getting goodwill from the Bahamian people, and that's important. And you can't come out there being arrogant and don't want to speak to the media. I'm not going to call any names. And, you know, rude and insulting. I like Prime Minister Davis' approach.
Yes, his approach.
And I wish him well. This is our country.
Yes, meek. His approach is meek.
Exactly.
His approach is meek.
He's showing some very good virtues there as the Prime Minister.
Yes.
And we all have to pray for him, whether you're FNM, PLP, DNA. This is our country.
Yes.
Our country is going to face some serious challenges. And like Prime Minister Davis say, not only the cabinet ministers, we the people, after all, have hands on deck to turn this around.
You're quite right.
But thank you for your call, man. Good show, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. You made some valid points. All the callers have made some valid points. Very valid point. Thank you very much for calling. Wow, it's crazy. A lot of people have a lot of input on what's taking place in the country, and he made some great points. I would also like to say to the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable
If you'd like to make a
Philip
call,
Grave
please
Davis.
Hang up and try again.
I want to say to you,
if you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Thank you. Thank you. Columbia, have a little problem. I'll try to get it off. One second. Good night. Go ahead,
caller. Yeah, I just calling back to say something. I'm close to Sparky again.
You back again, man, Sparky?
Yeah, but I'm begging the producer if I can ask something because I wanted something to be corrected, something you said. Because I heard the last caller, and I really appreciate the last caller, because you know me, I can stand up for what is right. Our Constitution gives us the right for freedom of association, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion. I heard a gentleman, everything came out of his mouth, and I have no problem with him. Mentioned Christianity, and everything got to be Christian. Remember, we have the right in our country to have different religions, a different form of religion.
Exactly.
So we got Muslims here, Bahamian Muslims on Carmichael Road, we got Rastas here. Not everybody in this country is a Christian because everybody don't agree with what you believe in. You have the freedom by our Constitution to have other religious beliefs. We have to respect other people's beliefs.
Yeah.
And before I go, I'm sure to tell you one more time. The man named Philip Edward, not brave. Have a good night.
Well, for you, you need to go back in time, Sparky, and remove that brave. Because that brave is going to stick with him for the rest of his life. And even when he go in his grave, they would still call him brave. Sparky. Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah, and we were talking. Oh, man, and Sparky, you know, Sparky, he's passionate you. Sparky's a good guy, though. Yes. Oh. Yeah. We were talking the fact that, you know, that the former Prime Minister Nas, the official opposition leader, and based on that, he will defend his previous administration. Mr. Davis is the Prime Minister now, so he have documents. And he is going to investigate in all of the Ministry of Education, the Ministry of Public Works, Ministry of Finance. And he is going to do his investigation. He's going to have an investigation team check it out. I don't know if he is looking to, you know, put anyone before the courts, but it seems that he is not really interested in that. The caller said that we need to move forward. We don't need to get that back and forth. What has been done with that previous administration, let that stick with them. There's no reason to go administer right now. Right now, we have high unemployment. We got poverty. You know, very high. We got the hospital needs bed. We need a brand new hospital. You know, there's many issues. We had many, civil unrest. We saw nurses striking. We saw prison officers striking. We saw BPL striking. You know, we saw the police had a little back and forth. So there's many problems that we are facing in the country now, and we don't want to see that type of politics no more, going at one another in the House of Parliament. The Free National Movement had a time of governance, and that time they squandered. See, being a leader of a country, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. See, every year, you go to Junkanoo, Saxon in the Valley, right? They've been the parade. And they could come back the very next year. Either the Saxon Valley or one family or the Roots come back and win. But in politics, you're 5 years. And in the 5 years, you're looking at a population of over 400,000 people that you
have to be able to help some way, somehow. And it's great responsibility. And when you squander that opportunity by not doing the right thing, the people will reject you. And that's what happened. Okay, when you're a leader, you take this as being LeBron James or Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson, you know? They wanted to win. And they had the fans with them. The fans, in this case, are the Bahamian people. See, if we're not cheering for you and saying that you're doing a good job, like for instance, the new prime minister, he already lifted some of the burden off the Bahamian people by extending the curfew to about 11:59. That enables business owners who were being put out of business for those 19 months to say, nah, I have a time frame where I could open my business. So instead of me closing around 8 or 7:30 because of the 9 p.m. curfew, now I have a chance to pick up on some slack, and now I can say I could be open till about 11:30. So I could have my customers, my volume of customers, come back to my establishment. You know, that's thinking on the box. Yes, it's a COVID-19 pandemic. And yes, if you look around the country, we can see where many persons have lost their loved ones. Mothers, fathers, aunties, sisters, cousins. And it's been devastating to us. But we're still here. The family members are still here. You know? Yes, the COVID is devastating. But why should we live in fear? You know? Why should we live in fear? Why should we live in bondage? Former Prime Minister, honestly speaking, he took away all our freedom. You know? Could you imagine taking away? You're done poor. Things done tough for you. Now you can't go outside and walk around. You can't find no work. All kind of problems occur. You know? And then you log down. And then you have the police who has the authority, has more power now. Now they can just pull your car over just suspicions of you driving a vehicle with a passenger or without a mask. And it could escalate from just a simple offense to assault because, you know, the police has this new rights now and they are going to use that to the best of their ability to the citizen. When this pandemic ain't had nothing to do with me and you. Me and you ain't bring the COVID-19, yeah? This was done by countries that experimented on these biological weapons and it backfired and now we paying the price. You know, they were charging for the PCR test. The government of the country was charging for the PCR test. That's wrong. You're trying to make it mandatory. It looked like it was getting there. But this government, I heard the Honorable Philip Brave Davis stated that, if I'm correct, that it's not going to be mandatory. It's my choice. I don't care what kind of pandemic out there. Right? It's my choice if I decide to take the vaccine, to be vaccinated, or not to be. Even if it is the right thing to do, it's still my choice. Or if it is the wrong thing to do, it still is my choice. Let me suffer the consequences. It's just like if it's a hurricane happening in Abaco and the government gives out warning and says to the resident, there's a hurricane coming, we'd like you to evacuate area. And if I decide not, they would say, well, if you do not evacuate and the hurricane comes and catch you in the middle of the storm, we will not send no rescue team to come and assist you because they already told you that you have to evacuate. But it's still up to that person to decide if they're going to abide by the rules and regulation. If they stay and the hurricane come and they get wiped out, it's on them. It can't be on the government and the officials because they gave you a warning. So yes, that's what God gave us, free will. And let me tell you this. Let no government, let no leader tell you it's mandatory for anything. Because once you're talking mandatory, all of your rights are gone. All of your rights are gone. No government has the power. That's what our forefathers fought for us to be free, for us to make our own decision. Christ came here for us to be free. God, who created the heavens and the earth and the universe, he gave us free will. Even if we're making the wrong decision, he gave us free will. And we would suffer the consequences if we made the wrong decision. But he gave us free will. And the former prime minister, he took all of that away from us. Took away our freedom. Took away everything we had. And I'm real happy that this prime minister was able to ease the restriction on the Bahamian people. Because now at least we could catch some fresh air. We could walk around the streets. We could open our business. And we could start to rebond, like the previous caller said, to get the economy stable again. Yes. And I want to answer my question for my friend, Calvin. Calvin, you talked about me must never be accepted. I'm not even thinking about getting accepted in that world. I just want to be a person who has a voice, whether you listen or you don't listen, but I'm always going to fight for us. And I saw a move by the new Attorney General, the Honorable Vane Monroe, because I like the read. And he is stating the fact that now that he needs to look at the coroner's court and look at these matters about these shootings that have not been dealt with and try to find answers to those questions. So I see the new Attorney General, Vane Monroe, Honorable Vane Monroe, I see his heart is in the right place and he's talking the right stuff. And like the person said, step by step by step, like how we could start putting on funds for the hospital. You know, he's referring to the fact that the Prime Minister elected Honorable Brave Davis. I mean to say the Sparky Brave Davis. He said that the hospital is deplorable. And it's a priority for the Bahamian to have a state-of-the-art hospital. And then the former prime minister stated that it's going to be impossible to build a new hospital based on the fact that it would cost $600 million to build a new hospital. And the caller said that we don't want to hear that. We can make it happen. Step by step, we could ask private partners, investors who come and invest in the country to come and be a part of rebuilding a brand new hospital if they want to do any investment in the country. You know, many European companies that are here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas want to do business with the Bahamas. And I'm sure if we were to ask as part of an agreement, because they want something, you want something, and if you want something, you could say to yourself, we're looking to build a brand new hospital. We can negotiate. And what about giving us donation? You could ask the cruise ships, you know, as part of their agreement. You know, you're doing business in the Bahamas. We could take some taxes off you in this way. But we need you to help donate some funds towards building a brand new hospital. So basically, every major investor that comes to invest in the country, if the current government were to add this stipulation in, and it made sense, they could get the funding piece by piece to build a brand new hospital. So yes, it is impossible. And yes, the former prime minister should not even be in the public's eyes right now if I was the Free National Movement, because I'm going to say this right now. Everyone is so happy that the honorable, the former prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Hubert Minnis, is not the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas no more. You see how fast things have changed? One day you're so high and mighty and arrogant, and if you listen to some of the callers, they're referring to the fact that when certain persons were talking to the media, they were arrogant, you know, they were boastful. They had all the power. Now, take a look now. Okay, we're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the City.
I'll go, Scoozy.
Hey, what's up, man? What's up? You been... Yeah.
George Brown there for you.
Yes, yes, Mr. Brown.
Hey, listen, boy, your boy, who called you Garvin, he was kind of on, he was kind of saying some real things, man.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, I just digging you up talking to a friend of mine, but how you kind of in the city up there, right?
Yes.
And the links and just what you're doing, right? And so, man, you know, like, the guy called, I was thinking with the youth, I'm telling him that, and then, you know, like, you're passing them on the bicycle. Sometimes I feel bad when I don't have nothing to give them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All the ghetto youths love me, man. Listen, man, your first caller, right?
Yes, sir.
But he give me a good laugh. He's a cool. He's a cool. Hey, but listen, you know, it is what it is, right?
The thing is,
with your boy, right? The former PM, right?
Yeah.
But we know he's a despot. And, you know, you hear me say it on the radio boldly, right? That I believe he studied the art of oppression, right?
Yeah.
And so cognitive dissonance, you know, is where you go in contrary. You're doing what contrary to what you really desire.
Yes.
So he say he loved the people, but he was inflicting pain.
Well,
so I don't know if he's a sadist or what, but obviously you see the difference with my boy Brave, right? I got a bigger Brave because he's a jolly giant.
Yeah.
He's in the same school I went to.
Yeah.
All right? And I like his harmonious or what they call mellifluous voice. You know what I mean?
Yes, so yes. He's humble.
He's humble.
Yes, he's humble.
He's soothing. Yes. I wish the best for his brother and his country, you know, because my Scoozy, man, you know, come on, man. We need... You know, but the thing is, it's designed for us to fight down one another, and it's designed for us to conform, right?
Yes.
But I sit down and listen to you and, you know, people on the phone, and on the radio, right? And it's like, we really don't know what the real global agenda is, and it's scary. And so, like you said, you were so right when you talk about conforming to the mandates. So remember now that liberty was never given, had to be taken. And so compliance and subservience breeds totalitarianism.
Mm.
It's just throughout history has proven with that. As time increased from I could go back as far as the hunter-gatherer period there. There's a vicious real freedom. And so if the person was to come into today's world and you see all the infringements that the government has done on our lives throughout the globe, then you realize that liberty is a fleeting illusion. And so the more you give, the more they squeeze. So it's like a constrictor. They ain't gonna let go. You understand that?
Yes.
So it is what it is, man. And so as far as the hospital is concerned, it likens me to a scenario. I was working in a hotel. I used to work with Jerome Soy, old man. You know, he used to train me on the boilers. He was a boiler mechanic on in the Navy or whatever. So I learned a lot about them. And there was a supervisor on, and the boilers giving us some problem. And they didn't get it started. And so he asked who's working tomorrow. I said, me and Mr. Sawyer. Mr. Sawyer was my supervisor. So he said, y'all ain't going to get it started. And so that's the same thing. It's only going to be in jealousy. But when he came that morning, he saw it on, right? So he didn't ask me what happened. But this is what life is. So we designed to keep down one another. We designed not to listen to one another according to your educational status. But what's the point of being smart if you're not trying to teach others?
Yes.
So I listen to you talk about the origins of the virus and the vaccines. A lot of people really don't know nothing. I mean, they can take the vaccine, do what they want, right? But the thing is, what inside my head determines how I think.
Yes.
So you're infringing on my rights, and you're calling me stupid like the guy Don Lemon on one of those stations. But he's a fool, so for not taking a vaccine. But, you know, the type of vaccine that you want wouldn't necessarily be here. But why would you make me feel like I'm a fool if I don't take a vaccine when I understand the immune system more than you?
Mm-hmm.
You really understand the immune system, how some cells differentiate for specificity for different reasons and how they engulf and dead cells and they mark. It's just a whole inflammatory response. And I hate to get into it. Let's say with the furin, you said it made it biologically enhanced, right?
Yes.
But you could go back. The Dietrich's Air Force, go and declassify the information, log on and see all of the biologically enhanced weapons. You see, gain of function is just a new euphemistic term for bioweaponization.
Yes.
You know, you say something to make it sound good. Now, the furin gene, which is an enzyme protein, right, that facilitates protein activation and deals with cellular transduction. That means it enhances the rate at which the virus gets into the cells. And so what happens is, with these mRNA vaccines, they knew that they started experimenting with recombining mRNA vaccines. The problem was the cellular transduction. They couldn't get the material into the cell fast enough, so they had to use adjuvants. All right, Scoozy, listen, man. I don't even want to get... Scoozy, you need to... What I'm saying is, I'm going to show you how evil these people is.
Yeah, I know.
To brainwash us. But see, the people don't... All right, there's something called magnetofection. I want every fool, instead of judging me, right? Because magnetofection and electroporation, those are transfection methods. That means they have used science to go beyond methods to infect a cell.
Mm-hmm.
That's what transportation. You're going, you cheating or walking. You're moving too fast. Trans-teleportation.
Caller coming to you right now.
Yeah, bless her. Respect, Susie.
No, you're going, eh?
Yeah, man. Respect.
All right, no, I said in the caller, next caller is coming to you when you finish.
I can't say enough, but I mean, the thing is, the truth is not out there for people to really make decisions,
yes.
and they're being brainwashed and duped, and they're believing everything they're hearing with mainstream media, and they don't have a mind of their own in this particular discipline.
Yes.
And so the reason why I do this is because we don't have a scientific journalist.
Yes.
I spoke about scientific dictatorship. You see it being implemented daily, but surely. You see it. Everything is being done incrementally, like your boy say. Have a good day, man.
Thank you very much. You are very knowledgeable, and we really need that information, and you make a lot of people go look up and check on the research, and then everyone comes to their conclusion. But if you look at the world and many of the different world leaders who are speaking out against taking the vaccine, you would see there's quite a fight against it from a lot of world leaders. So your point is very valid, and there's a lot of people who feel the same way as you. And like I said, you know, we just have to build up the immune system as a preventative measure. How we build up the immune system so that we don't get COVID-19, so this is a preventative measure. I think we need to find ways on how we can find the right fruits and vegetables for the kids at a very young age so that their immune system is built up strong, so they don't have these chronic diseases when they get older, like in the 30s and the 40s and the 20s, that leads to the quick death if you catch the COVID-19, because this virus is going to mutate. You never know what's going to be in the next year or so. So we definitely have the plan in the future. But in the meantime, we need to get the education in the school. We need to encourage our kids to eat healthier instead of eating all the chips and Capri Suns and stuff like that. We need to find alternative measures on how we can get them to eat proper vegetables to build up their immune system strong enough so they can protect themselves from contacting the COVID-19. Go ahead, caller. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good evening, Scroogey.
Hey, what's up, man? Poppy.
Yeah, man, the blind one.
Yeah,
right,
yes, boss. Yes, boss.
The great constituency of Nassau Village.
All right.
Good evening to all your listeners all over the world and your producer. Sound like I had some thunder there a couple seconds ago. Eh?
No, that's just
you could hear in the studio.
Yeah.
The gang of rain.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. I wanted to say before I forget quickly. You at least I believe. And I can't tell how the dead people think if they have any feet. You know, I know dead's supposed to be dead, but I have a strong feeling even the dead voters of the Bahamas glad Dr.
What?
That's when I mean the government today. I'm serious. I believe.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Uh-huh.
Has it ever rained on election day?
Oh yeah, in the evenings. I mean, sorry, when the vote done call, yeah, it's too like that before you ain't experienced it.
What they say? What happened when it rains? It wash away what? All right, it rained on that particular day. Yes, a lot of people are happy. We got to be honest with ourselves. The prime minister former prime minister did some great things. But listen, he took away a lot of our freedoms, you know. That was too much, man.
But it ain't like he ain't do nothing good for the country.
No, he did some good stuff.
He just ain't doing nothing. When he really put the nail in the coffin is when he fixed his mouth in the parliament to say the next time around he could do football. I think that was so dumb and stupid. I said, who was his advisors? Who write this for him? So even, I mean, I blind, right? I could, even if I was reading Braille and feeling, and I come across that they write that down for me to say that, I will continue to do for the poor. But you know, he put the nail in the coffin when he telling the people that then he could do for the, but I can't get in the business, right, the F&M business. I kind of sure don't understand the politics of some of the senior men and women them understand it, but I guess if he stepped down right now as a member of parliament, anyone could get that nomination from the Free National Movement, I think, like a Dr. Dwayne Sands. Right now, I know a lot of them will want it. Even Randwood Wells and all of them would like to run in that seat if Dr. Minister stepped down. But I think Dr. Sands need to stay in the hospital, and that's the only reason I agree for Dr. Minister to stay there. But Dr. Minister, ain't nobody want to hear from you, sir.
No one wants to hear from Dr. Minister.
He should take a chill pill, man.
Yeah, no one.
And I don't understand why he want to be the leader.
He has to protect himself, you know. I remember now. That's the reason
get
why.
Get something to hide. He got to defend himself.
You got to understand what's going on, you know. He has to defend himself. And you must remember, this is his first time losing as a sitting prime minister. You know, that's his first time loss. Ingram lost, and he had a chance. Perry lost, and he had a chance. And then, but they never lost the way he lost. Mm-hmm. You know, so now this is his first time losing an election. So he has a right to be the opposition leader. But if he saw what the outcome was of the general election, then he would go do the honorable thing. But he has that right. And then he might have some things to cover because he needs that protection to be the opposition leader. Because that's a lot of power, you know. Yep. Don't get the opposition leader as some kind of, you get a car, you get bodyguard. So, and you get diplomat immunity. So there's a lot of stuff there, brother.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff.
I just feel like, you know, he should have less to say to us right now. We care less what he have to say because all of them foolishness he talking about with this and that. Being into that right now,
no.
You know what the Bahamian people want here? Like how when this present Prime Minister Davis...
The lockdown gone.
Yeah.
That's where I'm telling you, level 59.
Yeah, and the COVID testing. Supposedly
free and all that.
You don't need the travel visa to go to the family.
And they're making it mandatory.
When you're coming from the United States, you don't have to pay for the travel.
Yes.
They're the kind of thing Dr. Minister to do now. You talking foolishness, talking out the air like a madman. Ain't nobody want to hear from you now, Dr. Minister. Come on with the most respect. As a former prime minister, man, take a chill pill. You know what I mean? And I know what you come back to defend and stuff, but, hey, Scrooge, I hear them talking about the hospital and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Scrooge, they saying you know money around to do certain things and this and that. And then this budget, what here now is still the budget with Dr. Minister and leave there. And the PLP got to wait till maybe next year sometime.
Mm-hmm.
To bring in their budget and their ideas and try allocate.
So they have the time to get themselves together.
Yes. But in the meantime, talking about the hospital, and I think like we need to be more creative and thinking out of the box. Like, I don't know if we could do something like with a national lottery, if not a national lottery, like just a lottery where, I mean, and sometimes we could contribute ourselves. Why is the government trying to borrow money and we being downgraded or whatever? Like the business people who have money, if they invest in the government, even if they give the government a loan rather than the government just keep going to these Canadian banks and, you know, a lot of interest in different things. Let the Bahamian people get that interest and stuff like that. We buy in numbers, some days buy in numbers. If it could contribute back to building the hospital. They talk about $700 million. I think we could raise that money. I think the number of people is be making that kind of money.
Listen,
in 1 year, maybe even one house be making that kind of money, almost close to $1 billion. I think the last government, Dr. Minister, I don't know if the word messing up or I think they run through more than
$10 billion.
Billions of dollars, more than $700 million. So they can find that money to build a hospital.
$10 billion.
Yeah, they can find that money to build a hospital. I think we need to just keep thinking out of the box and just start the process. I mean, it might be difficult. It might be outrageous to be talking about building a new hospital in Freeport and building a new hospital. We need to start it. And Prime Minister Davis, if it's possible, these clinics then would close in so early in the evening. If they could close like around 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, or we could have them open 24/7. I think that'll be good. It'll take a strain off the hospital, you know, and the workers them. And I know this government, Prime Minister Davis, them trying to find the money to maybe give the nurses and the doctors. I know about the leader. This is a good leader, and I think the deputy leader, I think they head in the right direction. Even picking these people and the kind of things they're talking about, going to the hospital and all of that, and talking about building a new hospital in spite of the financial beat.
Yes, that's the stuff we want
to hear. I think they're the kind of things we need talking about right now. And Scrooge,
Listen,
Mr. Davis, he's the Prime Minister of the Bahamas. He deserves that respect. We can respect his office. But listen to me, Scrooge, today, Mr. Davis, stop being brave.
It's all over.
It ain't, Prime Minister ain't mean nothing.
That don't mean it's nothing no more.
We respect the House. We respect the office, what he holding. But we know him as brave. And we can call him Prime Minister Brave Davis and all that stuff. But, you know, that's what we know as brave.
Yes.
He'll always be brave to us. And the day he stop being brave to us, I don't know what to say.
All right.
But I want to say congratulations to him. He's an honorable person, man. One thing he know how to say thanks and show appreciation to the Bahamian people. So I ain't put my head on the chopping line for no one because the arms of flesh will fail us.
Yes.
But I sure believe Mr. Davis can show these people how much he appreciate them giving him the opportunity to be Prime Minister in spite of what people say about him.
Yes.
Right keep up the good work, Scrooge.
Yeah, thank you.
You can call him Brave, man, with the most respect, Brave Davis.
I ain't my boy Sparky, because Sparky right now drinking with 6 pack of Glico and 12 pack of Glico.
You ain't one of them right now.
Yes, man.
Keep up the good work.
Sparky need to bring him 6 pack back. Yeah, man. Thanks, Papa. And Papa always contributing to the show. But I mean, listening to all the callers, we all feel the same way, you know. And yes, the country right now don't want to hear nothing but no opposition leader menace and him trying to defend his administration. People want to just forget about him and move forward. We don't want to hear the back and forth. And I want the prime minister of the country, you know, the Honorable Brave Davis against Sparky, to stay the course and be brave, okay? Don't get in that back and forth with the former administration on their achievements and what they achieve and et cetera. Work on the hospital. Work on paying the civil servants like the nurses and the prison guards and et cetera, who really needs it. You know, work on these things. You know, work on these industrial strikes. You know, work on the teachers. You know, these are the priorities. If you make them happy, you could be a 2-time prime minister. And I could see you as a very humble man. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Good night, Scrooge. How you doing, man?
Good night. I'm fine, man.
Man, look like, let's keep on coming down, man. Look like this some new day and thing. Plenty crab walking and everything. More crab still coming up. Rain still falling down. Thunder waking up more crab and they still keep on walking, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone free now. I guess the crops free now. I guess the crops ain't on lockdown no more. I know the crops them could be out from 5 a.m. to 11:30. So they're free again, you know. They're free again. They're free again.
Yeah, I tell you, 11:30, that's for the...
We could live with that. We could live with that, yeah, man. We know it's a pandemic. We could live with that, you know.
Yeah, man.
We could live with that.
But then, I mean, even though we live in like that, we got some infiltrators of this sovereignty and things. And in Agua, got like nearly 400, man, 370 under 24 hours, man, Scrooge, man.
Mm.
I mean, like, a lot of turmoil in Haiti, you know. People, they look like they're trying to take over the world. They see them in Mexico, must see by the 15,000, 20,000 going back and forth across the border to try to get in America so they got right.
That's a lot of people in one country, you know. You got to understand that. That's a lot of people in one country. And then it's poverty stricken, so people are doing anything to get out of there. They take any chance to get.
I mean, don't care how much people leave from Haiti. They still got 11 million in there. They make so much baby.
And it's way more than that. It's way more than 11 million.
I know that, man.
It's
know
over that. 50, 60, going to be over 50, 60 million. Oh,
because
Asian national.
In Mexico, very. But the place where they like trying to go to a border, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got like 145,000
yes.
of them there with the paper.
Yes.
I mean, and then they say they come from other countries, come to, I mean, where they track to the jungle and all that.
Yeah, man.
Wait, Asian is a buffalo soldier there.
Yeah, man, them people, they resilient people, you know. They resilient people.
But I know, boy.
All we can do, my brother, is just try our best to protect our borders, see how we can...
They say they're protecting the border, man. They say, I mean, but the government just come in, right? And they say they're really protecting the border. The minister is protecting, too. But I mean, like, but if you're protecting the border, man, how do you get them? I mean, with all the reconnaissance and everything... And
them sloops bad.
Like 400, were they fine?
Yeah, those sloops bad. Those sloops, you know, they sailboats and some
they
of them
high-tech,
are...
They stealthy.
Yeah, they what is happening to them? You can't see them on the water. And they can't be detected.
Right,
yeah, they can't that's be detected. Right, yeah, they can't be detected.
But Scrooge, you ain't think a real, like, I mean, government, like, they mandate us have our car license... And then boats with it must have the radio and the dive vest and all these other things, right?
Yes.
And it's like, we know that these boats are invisible, right?
Yes.
So why the government ain't mandating every vessel that come in our territorial waters have some kind of beacon marker where they can locate these vessels? And if you ain't got that, you violating our laws.
Yes.
So, but even so, like, when I look at the photographs in Agua, right, they say that the police station.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to see what cattle look like in this COVID period, they got the people pack up. I mean, outside the little, you know, the barricades. So it's like a mile.
So we're spreading COVID. They're bringing in spreading COVID. Yes.
Man, yeah, man.
Yes.
And these, I mean, it's like, right now it's raining. Then the people go in, the government got to get serious to this thing. I mean, I know it's a new administration, right? But it can't be the same thing that was happening before.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like, boy.
I think it takes the minister, right, who responsible for immigration, to really put in the work, to do the data reports. I think that anyone receiving these particular appointments should already be doing their study. You know, when they're saying about the cabinet appointment, I was saying like it took a week, right?
Yeah.
I say it took a week to get the cabinet appointment from our members of the party. But I'm saying if you were running the election, before we even go into the general election, we already knew who was going to be in position way ahead before the general election. So that means...
still take time to really do this through that.
The snap election.
Yeah, but snap election.
Yeah, that messed up everything. I think that's
we
the biggest.
New government coming.
We
had a snap election, and we had government coming breakneck speed. Government put in place as quick as this one right here right now.
Yeah, you're right.
And only
you're
wish for the best, you know, because right now we can't wish for nothing bad.
We get 4 out of 5 years for this man, so we can't expect him to feel it. We can't take this no more.
Right,
we can take this.
We can't afford it.
We can't take this man, boss.
And the blues in the country.
We can't take it.
We can't take it, man.
So. But the morgue's full. You see the morgue's full? All right.
You know that.
The nurses are overwhelmed.
You know that. But hey, Scrooge, let me show you something. But the same migrants who come in, right?
Yes.
You know where the problem could be? Because when they look at them, because America, they were having like 6 and 7 flights going to Haiti, guaranteed people, right?
Yeah.
And it's like the people are saying that where they could go, you know, home, this and that, that 8 week, president gets shoot, gangs in the road, they can't but pass to go home. And just, but you know what? So when these people come here, that's why the government really got to be keep that border closed, because, I mean, it's going to be a humanitarian cry. Inhumane and rights and the time of processing and this and that.
Yes.
And the Haitian government is going to say, well, you know, they're overburdened because of all the flights.
Yes.
They don't really know what to do because people ain't got food, ain't got this and that. And I mean, like, it's almost like, I mean,
can't explain it.
If you don't be careful, I mean, just be already at Dorian, now be in COVID, and now this illegal migration thing is going to really push it over the top if you don't try to control it. Because, I mean, like, right now, presently, there are a multiplicity of persons who they're human beings and everything, but simply, like, if you're not documented, you ain't supposed to be here, man. You need to be like that because there are too many behemoths that are unemployed. How many persons? But 60,000?
We got behemoths. Yes. We get about 80,000.
You know,
yes. We get about 80,000 or more people
all
unemployed
of these
in the
work
country.
Thing. I mean, like, you know, I say take all the foreign work permits.
Yes.
But then, you know what?
Manage
any
it.
Any nation looks out for their citizens first. I mean, any conscious nation will look out for their citizens to make sure that they can live, because, I mean, that's what the government was put in place for, to look up at the citizenry, and then from that you would deal with the others.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know.
Thanks,
but Chris, you got a good show, and I mean, like, I am congratulating this new administration.
Yes.
They call it a gutsy May cabinet, or be a musty May cabinet. I think I'd rather go with the gutsy May cabinet than the musty May cabinet.
Wait, thank you very much.
I must see maybe before the end of the CNCM administration, and the administration be just threw away.
Thank you very much for calling, brother.
Made great
sense. You guys make me laugh so much out there, man. You don't believe this, man. I used to be here when my head ain't down. I used to be killing myself laughing. You guys, y'all, boy, listen, behemoths. Boy, listen, when you do behemoths wrong, like they say, when you do us wrong, we just...
If you'd like to make
like
a call, please...
We have one vote, right? So you could do us bad for 4 years and you can make all the millions you want. But we done already make up our mind after the first 2 years that we as a collective are going to vote you out. And we, when just look on the TV or listen on the radio, when we hear FNM, 9 vote, PLP, 1,000. Boy, that's how we just get back at you. Okay? And boy, you see the people laughing. But anyway, we're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on. Yeah,
good night. How are you, man?
I'm fine.
excellent. I really enjoyed that conversation between you and the previous caller. You know, Scrooge, we have to be very serious about this country.
Yes.
Because we can't just look at the stuff that's happening on the bottom. We have to be even more focused at the stuff that's happening at the top.
Mm.
You know, we are being attacked from all sides in this one little country.
Mm.
And it's so sad that out of the 400,000, the estimated 160,000 organic Bahamians that reside here are at a disadvantage.
Yes, we are.
Just look at the helicopter that just landed here with $2.something million allegedly. Okay, that's on the top side. Yes. On the bottom side, we have the illegal migration. So in other words, what I'm saying to you, Scrooge, is that this country is faced with a multiplicity
of
many issues that regardless to what government wins any election, they are going to face two successive governments or the failures that the other governments did not address before they could even move on to their true agenda of propelling this country forward, upward, onward.
Yes.
And so we are, as a people, we are very responsible. You know, Scrooge, I'll go on a limb right now to tell you, the majority of Bahamians that live in this country are law-abiding.
Yes, it was evident.
And between having these taxes thrust upon us to make our lives even a living hell.
It was a living hell.
Living in a city of wealth. We are living this while we watch other people come in here and they're living much better than we are. Let me just close on this one point here very quickly. We've allowed many persons to come into this country and get concessions. What happened to the drones? Mm. For instance, we're talking about illegal migration into this country. If it wasn't for our good friends, the United States to the north, to lend us the assistance to interdict and intercept a lot of these vessels, do you know how many illegals would be in this country right now?
Maybe overrun.
We are now overrun.
Yes.
Let's be very honest here.
Yes, yes, you're right. You're correct.
And then we have the political, the politicians out here who have politicized this thing in deciding with these people. And I'm not saying that our brothers and sisters from the South are all bad people.
No.
But whenever a country cannot tell who is in their borders, what crimes they have committed in their country, what diseases are they bringing here
to
our country, then how in the world do you expect us to be able to keep up with one of the highest healthcare systems in this world, in this hemisphere, one of the highest crime rates in the Caribbean, and so on and so forth. There are a number of things that we have to do as citizens to help our law enforcement to try and curb this thing.
Yes.
You can't just sit on the fence and just say, hey, the police will do this or the defense force is going to do it. We also have a responsibility. If your friend is here and your friend and you know your friend is here illegally, you should be turning your friend in.
Yes. You know, you make such good point. Because, you know, there are many persons who I see come sometimes. You'd see them in an apartment building. They'd run an apartment building. You have not seen them before. So you'd wonder who they are. They are actually people who just came off the boat. And we as citizens, like you said, need to report this matter. Because you don't know what kind of disease they're bringing in the country. You know who they are as an individual. They could be a criminal on the run and et cetera and et cetera. You know, a terrorist and et cetera, et cetera. You're right, Carla. Go ahead.
The last point I'll make here, and then I'll hang up Scrooge, is we got some of these systems in place that really needs to be revamped and shut down. I'll give you a classic example. The D-Poll. That D-Poll needs to be shut down. If you are proud from where you come from and you carry your name through life.
Mm.
Why would a person be allowed to come to this country,
change
their name to your name, don't know nothing but your heritage, nothing but your bloodline, and nothing at all about where your people came from, yet they are being allowed to change their last name to your name.
Mm.
That's desecration of your lineage.
So that's what you see in the newspaper when you see, I just want to do this change. That's what you'll be seeing in the newspaper. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that needs to stop. And there are many, I can tell you now, many persons carrying your name. And they are not even off your heritage.
Yes, yes.
They're carrying your name, putting a stain on your family's name. Your family name is all you got through life and through death.
Yes.
That is one of the things that needs to be shut down.
Yes, you're correct.
Shut it down. And I'm hoping that this current administration
takes a look at it.
Under the sound of my voice, hears me, because this is making a mockery of who we are as a people. we need to shut that down as one example and attack all the other issues that they know,
yes,
front and back, that needs to be addressed. We need to bring some type of semblance of stability in this country,
yes,
for us to live comfortably.
Yes.
Thanks, Scrooge, for taking my call.
Man, sir, it's my pleasure, because you guys make so much good comments on everything you're saying is actually the truth. So I want to say thanks to you guys for making the show such a wonderful show, and that you, a lot of people listen and call in. That's what I want you guys to do, you know.
If you'd like to make a call,
find time to be a part of the conversation on the show, because the show is for you guys to express yourself, and I'm only here to serve you guys, you know. I'm not a person, a talker, I'm a doer. So I don't come talking on radio. Whilst I'm talking, I'm doing big things, but I don't like to put myself out there. I don't like to let the general public know what I'm doing, because that is not me. But from time to time, I just do it to show that what you can do as a citizen, but not to be bashful, to be arrogant like our previous leaders. You got to be a person who moves in secret, you know, moves in secret, doesn't look for the glory and etc. When you guys call in today and the letters are sending, that's you guys acknowledging me, and you guys gave that to me. And you guys make me feel happy and proud to be on Guiding Radio to this day. Because to see that you guys appreciate me, you guys see I'm genuine. I'm not looking to get rich. I'm not trying to please nobody. I'm only here as a citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to do my best so that, like the caller said, so that we can live good. Many of us are disenfranchised in our country. He speaks the fact that, yes, there's a 500,000 people living in the country of the Commonwealth of Bahamas. But out of that, there's about 160,000 real Bahamians. And us, we are being disenfranchised here in this country. And again, I want to say to the new Prime Minister, sir, and I get to you, Sparky, the Honorable Brave Davis, I really appreciate the fact that you understand the fact that we were tired of being locked down, and that our freedoms was getting taken away. Took away the travel visa. The PCR test, I think, was going on in the previous administration, was already removed. And that you're not making it mandatory for anyone to take the vaccine. So just put that curfew back a few hours. Gives all us a sign of relief, you know. I don't think our previous prime minister understand the fact or the situation that Bahamians were dealing with at that particular time. We already coming out of general election or the hardship on the previous administration that we were disgruntled with. Before that, we had a government before that that we feel that didn't do what it was supposed to do. As I say, to have the disenfranchised in the country. We're talking about empowerment, talking about building homes, carrying up the minimum wage, and stuff like that. So we have thousands and thousands of people in the country who are below the poverty line. So you can imagine us changing the administration so that they can improve the conditions of the residents that reside in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, only to be pushed aside for the members of parliament to be cocky, to be disrespectful, to award contracts to friends, lovers, and friends, and they're above the law. Whereas the average citizen who only surviving off $100 or less a week, you go log down the country. You don't give no stimulus package. You know, you gave the police too many rights. You know, people were going before the courts for selling coconut, for breaking the emergency orders. And then so many businesses were destroyed and shut down, even though you started a small business program, which is excellent, but you also stopped the small business program. So business people couldn't even open their business on a regular basis.
They couldn't say they're going to open a business from 9 to 9 to 9 because the emergency orders were up and down. So every time they announce a new schedule for the emergency order, give it a month, 2 months, it goes back to this and that. So it causes the businesses shut down and causes people to lose their clientele. You know, then people who businesses get closed down and not getting no stimulus package, so they resort to going into their savings account. And when they go in their savings account, they probably saving up to start doing something with their life. But now they can't do that now because the country was locked down and et cetera. So many people are relieved. You know, many people don't hate the former prime minister. No, we don't hate people. They just were mad at the fact that, hey, I can't believe that this man is doing this to us, especially the position we're in now. No one said it's the people's time. You know? So I want to say to all the callers, I'll be completely out of time. I want to say to the callers, you guys did a wonderful job. Your input is very important. The Sparky. Sparky, that's him good. I know you're sucking on them six spark. Yes, this. Honorable Prime Minister, Brave Davis. I want to say thank you very much for all the callers. I want to say thanks to my friends and colleagues at Guardian Radio. And I'm going to give a shout out to my friends in Donald Forbes. He's one of the first original Border Boys. I didn't like to mention his name, like to call his name on the radio. But I also wanted to mention that, you know, he was one of the original Border Boys. He tunes into the show on a regular basis. I want to say to his girlfriend, I know they're sitting on the government ground listening to the show now. And I want to say thanks to my friend Adrian. I want to say thanks to all the people that live in the East Street area who listen to the show and those who live out east and out west. I want to say thank you. And I just want to let everyone know that deep down in my heart, I'm a genuine person. I'm not looking for nothing in this country. I just want my life to be a little better, where I can survive, where I can help my son to become a better person and help a few poison in the community that I reside in. A little small house, nothing big, just like any Bahamian one. That's the only thing I want. I don't want to see everyone's lives improve in the country. I want to see the crime rate go down. I want to see the unemployment rate go down. You know, I want to see a lot of small business created in the community. I want to see kids skating and playing top and flying kites, you know, instead of fighting the streets again. I want to see man and woman walking the streets holding hand again, you know. I don't want to see guys who have talent, could be anything in the world, to become gangsters, armed robbers. That's setting us back and taking away our true potentials as citizens. All right? So I want to say thanks for listening tonight on Guardian Radio. And enjoy your Friday. Drive safe. Do your best to keep yourself safe. And I'll see you next week on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Ghetto. Don't take no back talk, no bribe, or no.